take you to Exodus chapter number 3. And I want you to look at something. We're going to share a brief thought. I've kind of given you the introduction already. You're called to greatness. But that greatness is going to come with great trial. The Bible says that because you are His, because you are a child of God, you'll be persecuted, you'll be ridiculed, you won't fit in. Because of that, many will criticize you. Many will hate you. And Jesus said, don't worry about it when they hate you. They hated me first. And I don't know where you're at today, but I know that at some point in your life, whether it's now or in the future, you're going to face something heavy. You're going to go through something difficult. See, Moses was minding his own business, just keeping his little sheep. All right, he was in the wilderness, just doing his job. Remember, God showed up and started playing with fire. And then Moses had to respond. And as Moses responded to that fire, he says, God says, take your shoes off. Lay your staff down. Let me talk to you, Moses. You're going to deliver a nation. And Moses, like many of us, had every excuse of why he wasn't the one. And today, if I were to look out and I were going to be the one that says, you're going to be the Savior, the one that God uses to reach Jefferson County, it's you. No doubt, many of us would say, well, that's too big for me to do. No doubt, we'd sit and say, man, I don't know. I got so much going on. I'm so busy. I've got too much on my plate. I've got too much in my mind. I'm not a good person. I've got mistakes. I've got failures. I've got things that just make it to where I can't do it. Moses did the same thing. He said, God, I can't speak. God, they'll never listen to me. Hey, God, I'm a wanted man in Egypt. You know, and the Bible said that Pharaoh, when Moses fled, when he murdered the guy, the Bible says that Pharaoh sought to kill him. I don't know where you're at today, but I'm going to tell you this. There is an enemy, and his name is Satan. He is a powerless and weak creature. Can we say that? Can we just say amen to that today? Thank God. The only power he has is the power you give him. The only ability he has is the abilities you give him. The Bible says that the cross stripped him of all of his powers and that today he can do nothing. The Bible says you're in control of sin, that you're the one that rules over it, not the other way around. The Bible says that all you've got to do is resist, just speak it, and he has to flee. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and that after you've done everything, you'll still be standing there firm. You know why? Because that cross gave you power. That empty tomb gave you a hope. And today, because he lives, you should be living. And the Bible says that God showed up to Moses and said, you're going to lead him out. And Moses says, I don't know, I can't do this. This isn't for me. And the Bible says, you're going to stand before Pharaoh and you're going to tell him that the God of the Israelites has heard their cries and that you are there to tell them to let my people go. Pick up with me in verse number 14 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, God replied to Moses when Moses said, they're not going to believe me. And he said, who do I tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them this. I like this. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. You know how you're going to have to face Pharaoh? You're going to have three things. Number one, you're going to have God's approval, God's support. You cannot face the addictions, trials, and weaknesses of your life by yourself. You've got to have God's approval. Can I tell you this? There are a lot of people that are in the world today that are trying to do good things that they were never intended to do. And because they were not called to do it, because God didn't give the approval, those good things became bad things for them. And they're broken, and they're burnt out, and they're weak, and they're crumbling under the loads that they're trying to carry. You know why? They were never called to carry those loads. Can I challenge you today to not do anything unless you know God is the one that's sending you to do it? To not marry someone unless God's the one that told you to marry them, unless God brought them to you. Do not do it. Do not take a job that God hasn't called you to. I say it all the time. My wife is a nurse, right? She works in wound care, meaning she deals with blood and yuckiness every single day of her life. I look at her, and I've told her this many times, I could not do what you do. Matter of fact, it'd be like, yeah, I've told you many times, I see the blood, they come in, instead of diagnosing them, I pass out on the floor. That's how it goes with blood. How many of you are the same as me? The blood scene is not yours. Anybody like that? But you know what? I'm not called to be a nurse. Thank God for the ones that are. Amen? Right? You know, I tried to teach for 2.5 years and hated every bit of it. You know why? I'm not called to teach. Thank God for those that are. Amen? You know, I've tried to work on a car and broke it worse. All right? If that's even good grammar. See, I can't even do the English part of it. You know, I've tried a lot of things in my life, but I have not succeeded at most. Anybody else say that? You know, I've tried a lot of things, and I have found that I don't succeed at most of them. It's because I wasn't called to do those things. I was called to do this. This is me. This is who I am. I'm called to minister. I'm called to pastor. There is no doubt in my mind that that's the case. If there was doubt in my mind, I wouldn't do it. It terrifies me. I sat with Pete and Beth as they were getting ready to speak at the Renovatus fundraiser and be praying for that ministry. What an amazing ministry. But I sat with them and we were eating and they took like 4 or 5 bites and they pushed their plates back and they're like, I shouldn't be doing this. Pete's like, I'm going to be puking everywhere. I'm sitting there. I'm eating away because I'm not preaching, but I know exactly how they feel, right? I'm just like shoving it down. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad it's not me tonight, you know? It's a scary thing, but you know what? It's what God's called me to do. And because of that, I know I have His approval. And I don't walk up here scared of what you're going to think about what I have to say. And I don't walk up here and think about people. Some people come up to me and they're like, you're preaching about us. No, I'm not. You're not on my mind at all. Matter of fact, I don't mean that harshly. But when I take the stage, I pray, God, rid my mind of every individual that's here and fill my mind with You. That is it. Because without Him, I couldn't do it. And to try without Him would be a failure. It would be a waste. It would be painful. Can I ask you something today? Are some of the pharaohs that you're standing in front of meant for somebody else to stand in front of and not you? Are some of the battles that you're fighting meant for someone else to fight? Are some of the struggles that you're going through, are you carrying the weight of somebody else's failures? Are you carrying the weight of someone else's discouragement? Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Stop it! You might be hurting today and you might be unfulfilled today because you're living in a will that is not God's, it's yours. See, I'm not even talking to the ones that are knowingly doing wrong. I'm talking to the ones that have passion and have a heart that try to do good. And yet the good becomes bad because they're not supposed to be doing what they're doing today. We had a meeting with our vision teams, event teams, and all these things. And I said, listen, here's what we believe at Grace. We want you to find one thing that you're good at, one thing that you're called to, and focus all of your attention on that thing. So I said, I need you to sign up for some teams, but I'm only going to let you sign up for one. Because I want to be a church that doesn't have people that are doing a lot of things good. I want to be a church that's doing one or two things that God has called us to. Very excellency. And to a degree of perfection. No, we're not going to be perfect in it, but we can focus our entire lives and attentions to it. Hey, can I give you some advice today? God didn't call you to help somebody else's marriage if your marriage is falling apart. And God didn't call you to help somebody else's addiction if you can't get over your own. Stop trying to fight their battles and stand and fight yours. Don't stand in front of their Pharaoh. Stand in front of yours and know this, that God, it is He who has sent you. It is He that loves you and it is Him that stands with you. You're not alone. And that's what He said, Moses, when you stand before them, you let them know that this message is brought by God. It's God approved. Do you know that your life that you're living today is God approved? If not, step back. The Bible says, be still and know that He is God. See, God will reveal to you the things that He wants from you. God will call you to and give you passion for the things that He wants you to do. But God will move you away and shut doors in your face to things that He does not want you to be a part of. So number one, if you're going to face Pharaoh and leave Egypt, you got to know that you're facing the Pharaoh that God called you to face. Number two, will you look at another couple verses for me? In verse number 16, we find this. The Bible says in verse number 16, listen, now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has prepared to me, has appeared to me and told me, I have been watching closely and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. Verse 17, he says, I have promised to rescue you from Egypt, from your oppression. He says, I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, whatever, all these parasites, let's just call them that. You ever feel like you're surrounded by people that are just sucking the life out of you? You know why? Those people aren't going to stay there long. I tell people all the time, I do not get upset. I do not chase when people get bent out of shape and run from the church. You say, oh, you should. No, no. Hey, listen, in the Israelites, if they just walked into Canaan and let everybody else run away, they would have been a whole lot better than letting them stay there. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes in your life, people are going to run from you and people are going to turn their backs on you, and it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to you, because it opens it up. It gets the parasites out of your life. But you know, I want you to see something here. Before I give you point number two, notice this. God said to Moses, I didn't call you to go save Israel from Egypt. No, matter of fact, in verse number 17, he said, tell them this, I have seen this and I have promised. God starts talking with a personal pronoun, talking about himself. Can I tell you this? He said, Moses, I want you to go deliver the good news to Israel that I have heard their cries and I have seen how they've been treated and I am coming to deliver them. Can I tell you this today? God didn't call Grace Community Church, Joshua Moore, or any of you to save the world. He sent his son. He sent us to give the good news that God is coming back and he will free them and he will take them and they can be delivered in his name. Stop trying to save the world and just start telling the message of the good news. We always say Moses went and led them out. No, Moses went and God sent them out. Moses went and said, you're leaving. And you know what? I would love to be your Moses today. If you're going to stand in front of Pharaoh, number two, you're going to need help from people. Verse 16 starts with this. Look at it real quick. In chapter number three, it says, now go and call the elders of Israel. We preached a whole series on community, but let me reemphasize one major point today. You can't do it alone. You got to have a team. If you're going to face Moses, if you're going to face your Pharaoh, you got to know that God put you there and you got to have a team. I'm going to tell you this today. I will be your Moses. And I'm going to speak to your addictions for a moment. And I'm going to speak to your temptations. And I'm going to speak to your weaknesses. And I'm going to speak to your marriages. And I'm going to speak to your careers. And I'm going to speak to your finances. I'm going to tell you this. Get packed up. God's about to move you out of these terrible situations. But you're going to have faith and believe. You're going to have to trust that God is able. You're going to have to know that God is at work and God can move mountains. Hey, I've got the good news, but more than that, I've got the Savior to you. I've got the God of the world to you. You need us and we need you. You need a support team. You need some focus groups. God said, you're going to go stand in front of Pharaoh. You're going to tell him that I'm coming to deliver, but you're also going to go to the elders of Israel first. Before you stand there, you're going to do this. And some of you, you can't kick your habits by your own self. You need some accountability. You're like, well, I don't have bad habits. Can I tell you this? Can I just bust your bubble? Every single one of you do. Every single one of you has bad habits. Matter of fact, if I were to ask your wife, she could probably tell me a few of them, right? If I were to ask your husband, they could tell me. If I could ask your children, they would tell me, right? We all have bad habits. So let's just make it public. How many of you got bad habits today? Would you say, I've got bad habits. You know, the thing is, man, I need somebody to hold me in check. I need somebody to keep me accountable. Have you ever watched the NBA or Major League Baseball and thought this of the NFL? Those are the most talented athletes in the world. They're really, really what they call. They even call themselves freaks of nature. They're like 7 foot tall, 240 pounds. Me and my wife were watching a game just the other night where they had a 400 pound tight end with size 21 shoes. I do not want to see that guy running at me. And the truth is, man, I look at that and I think to myself sometimes, why do they need a coach? You ever watch an NBA game, watch LeBron James, and think to yourself, the coach is just like there to, you know, fill a role? Man, that guy can play. Man, that's a good team. He's surrounded with Kevin Love and all these other guys. Man, just let him play. You ever thought that? You know why the coach is there? To keep him accountable. To let him know. I heard of a story, and I'm going to use one of my football fan heroes, right? Nick Saban said to one of his players just the other week, if you don't want to be here, you can get out of town. And I thought to myself, ooh, wow, that's hard to hear. If you don't want to be on this team, get out. Man, I thought to myself, that's got to hurt. He's a five-star athlete, man. He's highly recruited. He was the best in his state. And you're looking at him and saying, if you don't want to be here, get out. You know what that's called? Accountability. What he's saying is, you're not being the best you can be. You're not being who you're supposed to be. You're not being who you're called to be. And you know why you need a church? You know why you need a team? You know why you need a focus group and a small group? You know why we offer so many? Because sometimes you need somebody to look you in the face and say, you can be better than you are today. Let's get back on track. Let's get to where we need to be. And Moses got rejected several times. How many of you know the story of Pharaoh, right? He goes and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. He goes back and you got like the plagues of Egypt, right? You got all these things raging. Man, I don't know about you, but I hate to be rejected. I hate when somebody rejects my love. I hate when somebody looks down on me. I hate when people talk bad about me. Anybody else feel that same way? You know, it's just like you want to be a good person and you try to love people and you hate when they do that. Man, I hate that. And yet Moses kept getting rejected. I'm going to tell you, he needed some major counseling in his life. I mean, can you imagine going home alone and being like, okay, well, God, you told me you were going to deliver them, yet every time I go, the guy says no. Every time I take a step of faith, it gets slammed in my door. Maybe you've had these moments to where you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, God, you've asked me to live this way and I'm living this way. Why isn't it working? You've asked me to do this and I'm doing it. Why isn't it working out? You know what? If you're trying to do it alone, you will quit and stop right there. You need somebody to stand behind you, not only to keep you accountable, but to also support you when the world doesn't want to. When people want to reject you, they stand there and say, you keep going. You're doing okay. Man, I'm thankful I got those people in my life that when things don't work out, they call me up and they say, hey, listen, you're doing the best you can. We see you. We notice you. Keep moving. You've got to have a team. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, let me give you a verse that we use in our series on the seed, right? The very first thing we said at the end of the seed in the beginning of the community was this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4, 12. You need people in your life. You may think you're strong, but if you're going to face Pharaoh and you're going to walk out, you're going to have a team. Let's look at this. Verse number 22 of Proverbs, chapter number 15. The Bible says this. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Read that out loud with me. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. And many advisors bring... All right, Proverbs 15:22. You need to hear that. That means this, all right? You don't know it all. And you can't do everything. And that's why you need people to help you. Point number three is this. Number one, you got to know you're called by God. Number two, you've got to accept that you need a team. And number three, you got to be confident in the plan. In verse number 19 of chapter number 3 of Exodus, we find this. The Bible says, hey, listen, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. God said, Moses, I know he's not going to let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. In that moment, there's fear, right? Because whose hand is that going to be? And then in verse number 20, he stills the fear and he says, so I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last, he will let you go. The next verse, verse 21, he says this, and I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. I even like verse 22 where it says this. He says, hey, every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from their foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. Man, isn't that amazing? Can I tell you this? You need to make sure you know this. You got to be confident that if you're doing what God's calling you to do, it's not going to fail. Because God's not only going to equip you, and God's not only going to protect you, but God's going to finance you and do whatever needs to be done to accomplish that. That's why we at Grace Community Church are standing in front of our building project, and we're not sitting there saying, how are we going to do this? We're sitting here saying, God, we're trusting that you're going to raise your mighty hand and do some amazing things. That's why we step out and we plan events that we don't even have the funding for yet, because we believe that if we're acting in God's will, that He will provide whatever is necessary to carry out His plan. I'm telling you this today, church. If God is for you, nothing can be against you. If God is fighting your battles, you cannot lose. If God is standing with you in front of Pharaoh, Pharaoh will fall before you. See, David told Goliath, you come with your shield and your sword. But I come in the name of the Lord. And every person that has stood in front of anything or anybody in the name of Jesus Christ has found victory every single time. See, are you confident in the plan that God has for you, or do you run scared every time something doesn't go right? Are you confident that God is with you, or do you hide when you don't understand? See, there are going to be times in your life that you can't see what God's doing, but you got to be confident that if He has led you to it, He is going to bring you through it. If God has called you, He will equip you. He will fight for you. Exodus 14, 14, I give you that all the time. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to stay calm. He goes on in other passages, and in Nahum 1, 7, He says, hey, He's a stronghold. The Lord is good, a stronghold for those that love Him. Can I tell you this today? Many of us are broken and many of us are cowering down and scared to death. We cannot leave our Egypt because we're too scared to stand in front of our Pharaoh. And that's why you need to grab hold of God, grab hold of His people, and you need to with confidence know that God will do whatever it is that He has said He'd do. Matter of fact, look at some verses in closing with me today. Check this out if you would. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 89, we find this. Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. That means if God has said it, it will happen. The last verse I already gave you this morning was in Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Where the Bible says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all who fix, whose thoughts, whose mind, whose eyes, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Can I ask you this today? What is it that you're called to face? What is it that you're called to call out? See, I believe at Grace Community Church, we're called to the broken. Not all of you are broken. That means you're supposed to be helping us. All right? We're called to stand in front of addiction. And I have no fear of addiction. You say, what? Yeah, I have no fear of addiction because I've seen them fall at the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you can say amen? I've seen that happen too. Would you lift your hand up and praise for a second? How many of you believe today that God can cure incurable diseases? Anybody believe that today? How many of you believe today that God will heal America if God's people would ask Him to and would commit themselves to living the life that He called them to? How many of you believe that this morning? Hey, I am confident that the one that I believe in is able to keep me until the day that He returns. And because of that, we stand in situations that don't make sense, and we just believe that God's going to work them out. We call Him out and we say, we need you to do it. And because we need you to do it, we give it to you. Complete control. You're the Savior of the world, not me. You're the Savior of a nation, not me. You're the King of kings, not me. You are God, not me. And because of that, we stand boldly. See, He sent Moses with a staff, David with a sling. But He has sent you with so much more. He has sent you with a complete version of His holy word. things that Moses and David did not have. See, Moses and David were looking for the day that the Savior was coming to save the world. We are looking for the day that the one who has already been the Savior of the world will come to establish His kingdom. We know how it started. We know how it ends. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. So why aren't we seeing more pharaohs and giants fall? Why do we see more churches closed down than started? Why do we see the name of God so attacked in our world? Why do we see Christians so scared to be Christians? To live sold out and godly lives? Are you scared you're going to miss something? Are you scared you're going to miss a little bit of pleasure that the world has to offer? Because the truth is the way that they're living, that pleasure, the Bible even says, it will only last for a little time and then it vanishes. But the things that you do for God, the Bible says, will last forever. So I believe that some of you need to get some courage today. I believe we all need to take some faith. I believe we need to stand up in America and start loving like we're called to love. Are you the Moses of this generation? Me and Miss Diane, one of our children's workers, were talking before church. We're getting a lot of very deep questions from our young children. A lot of deep questions about the existence of God and how to prove that He's real. And they even say, and we're talking 8 and 9 year olds, well, none of my friends believe that God's real. My teacher says that God's not real. And I told her, you know, that generation is being taught and it's being put in their face that there is no God. They are the most attacked generation when it comes to believing. How many of you were raised in church? Would you slip your hand up? Look at that. Look around you. Hold it high. How many of you have been in church from a very young age? Look at that. Now let me tell you something. When you were young and brought to church, the news didn't have an all-out attack on Christianity and faith. Hey, listen, people didn't stand and say there is no God. It just didn't happen. I'm only 31 years old. And when I was a child, church was the thing you did. Some of you are well older than that, where you know that it was something that Sunday, if you weren't at church, man, you were messed up. But now it is laughed at. Why do you go to church? Now I have pastors that even tell me, well, I don't need church, I can just have it at home. My Bible says that you can't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need each other. You need that group. I have people, Christians, that say, well, I get enough of God on my drive to work. Can I tell you this? If you got that much of God, then why don't we see much of God coming out of you? The truth is, listen, we need a generation that stands up so that the next generation has a hope. Because if moms and dads don't start praying over their children, if moms and dads don't start living a godly life, then don't for one second expect the next generation to. Every time I hear people say, man, the generations keep getting worse and worse. You know why? Because the generations in front of them stopped serving God less and less. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to break the cycle. Anybody with me? The Bible says that for years, the Israelites were enslaved. For generations, they were slaves to Egypt. And all of a sudden, Moses walked into Egypt. And he said, we're about to change things here. Call me naive, call me a dreamer, call me a fantasy guy. I've been called all those things and I love it. But I believe that in my lifetime, that the purpose that God has called me for is to step out into this generation and to tell this generation, we will break the cycle of bondage that we have seen. We will not see a county overtaken with drugs. We will take the county with the love of God. And we will not see a county go bankrupt because we will take our financial habits and we will start reinvesting them into this county. Our church is looking for ways to do that. You say, well, Brother Josh, what do you mean? I'm saying this. Stop saying that things are going to happen and start proclaiming what God says can happen if people would just surrender to Him. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. God's playing with fire. I'm fanning the flames. And I am just ready because I believe it. That through you and me, man, we're going to see a nation saved. I believe it. You say, no way. You say, well, biblically, that's impossible. Things have to get worse and worse. Can I tell you, biblically, there has to be a movement of the Spirit to where every ear in the whole world hears of the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says that when every ear is heard, that's when you need to be ready. It's coming. It's the end. And there are 3,000 tribes that have not heard about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, over 3,000, that there is no language that has been taken to the Bible that they can understand to know the grace of God. 3,000. And I'm looking at them and saying, the quicker we get that done, the quicker we go home, all right? And so I say, instead of saying, hey, God's dying, His name's dying in America, I'm saying, no, I'm here and it's raising up. We're rebuilding it. And there is hope today. Why? Because I am not scared of Pharaoh. I'm not scared of Goliath. I'm leaving Egypt and all my past and all my hurts and all my shame is staying behind. And I'm walking out. Guess what? I'm going to take the wealth of the world with me. No, I might not take the riches. Those things that bring them joy, God's going to lay at your feet. Those things that bring them happiness, God's going to provide for you. But you have got to be willing to stand up for what you believe in. So bow your heads and close your eyes and don't look around. I'm going to ask those that are on our prayer team just to come and stand around the auditorium. For those of you that don't understand who these people are, they are here to pray with you now or after service. I'm not giving you a formal invitation, but some of you need to reach out for help right now. And I want you to stop listening to me if that's you. And I want you to find some of these. They're making their way around. You'll see them all around. I want to ask you today, how many of you are struggling? And your Pharaoh is an addiction to a substance, to a pornography, to a lifestyle, to a materialism, to greed, whatever it may be. How many of you today say, Brother Josh, my Pharaoh that has a grip on me is in the form of an addiction? Would you slip your hand up today? Okay. There's many of you. Can I tell you something today? God is here to deliver you from that. And you're going to need to know that God does not want you to live that life. And you're going to need to know that there is a team of people right here at Grace Community Church that will help you through that addiction, that will help you overcome it. We do not turn our backs on addicts. We love them. We love them because we realize that they are just like us. And today, I'm going to ask you to be bold. To stop feeling ashamed and stop feeling bound by guilt. And to right there where you sit, to stand before your Pharaoh and tell that addiction, no longer will you rule my life. And in that moment say, God, you've got it. You've got control. How many of you are here today and you've got some bad financial habits? Would you slip your hands up? Got some bad financial habits. Come on. Hey, listen, there's no judgment. All right? Can I tell you? You cannot spend your way out of debt. And you cannot ignore your debt. It will find you. But you can be smart. And you can do right. And you can change the way you spend. And you can change the way you think about money. And you can change the way you think about things. And little by little, inch by inch, I promise and believe God will bring you out of that debt. I wonder how many of you today would say, Okay, God, it is your way when it comes to my money. It is your way. I will do it your way. Can I tell you? It's scary. Because you got to surrender some of it to Him. It's scary because you've got to stop buying things you can't afford. But it is so worth it as God opens the windows of heaven and multiplies your giving. And I wonder how many of you today say, Brother Josh, with my addiction and my financial habits, today is the day of change. God, give me courage. I stand in front of my Pharaoh. Would you slip your hand up? Say, that's me. Today's the day of change. How many of you today, your home life, your marriage or your relationship with your partner or your relationship with your children is not what it's supposed to be? Would you slip your hand up today? It's not there. It's not what it's supposed to be. Many of you. I believe God can change that situation. But in order for that situation to change, you've got to be willing to change first. God, change the way I view my spouse. God, change the way I talk to them. Change the way I communicate. God, change the way of my temper, my anger. God, change me so that I am more like you. And God, then through me, change them. How many of you say, God, change me first in my relationships? Would you slip your hand up? Change me first. Now, I could go on and on today. Matter of fact, if I were to call out every category, we'd be here all day long. And I'm not going to do that to you. But some of you are battling with anger, and some of you can't get your emotions in check, and some of you, you've got past hurts and things that people have said that are just lingering in your life, and they're defining you. Those emotions and attitudes are defining everything you're doing. Hey, can I tell you this? Hurting people hurt people. And you're becoming part of a vicious cycle of hurt. You're carrying the baggage that's been created in your life into other people's lives, and you're unloading it on them. Can I ask you today to surrender your emotions, your fears, your attitudes? Can I ask you to surrender what you are letting define you by the words or actions of somebody else? And today say, God, make me new. I want to stand created anew in you. Let you be the one that defines me and nothing else. That is you today. Would you lift your hand to heaven and say, God, here I am. Define me, remake me. God bless you. God bless you. Stand with me. Look at me. I promise you this. We are not the best church in this area, but we will do our best to minister to your needs if you will just come to us and let us help you. If your marriage is struggling, let me get you with some counselors. We've got many. Hey, if your finances and your habits are bad, let me set you down with some financial advisors. We have many. Hey, if you today are struggling with your emotions, your attitudes, if you're holding in hurts, let us help you. Because I promise you this, I will make a promise. If you will come stand beside us and let us stand beside you, we'll walk out of Egypt together. We'll walk out of it together. Because I believe that one day there's going to be a trumpet sound and God's going to appear. And I believe that the kingdom of God will walk out of this place together. How many of you believe that today? Hey man, I'm excited and I am ready for that. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to see people still bound by a kingdom that God has not built. And bound by a Pharaoh that God has not put in front of them. I want to see them alive and living the abundant lives that Jesus Christ promised they'd have. So today, will you go on a journey with us? Will you come along beside us? Hey, listen. I understand that you may be thinking, well, if he only knew my circumstances. Well, I wonder if Moses thought that. God, do you see what's going on? I can't get him to leave because Pharaoh says no. So God sends frogs and flies and locusts and blood in a river. He sends death. He raised his hand and he said, hey, listen. I am the God that when I show up, circumstances change. Things change. So stop relying on your excuses. Start having confidence in His plan. Because you were created for good works today. And you were created for an abundant life today. So join us as we together leave Egypt behind and we head home, closer to our promised land. I believe heaven is where I'm heading on, don't you? And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep on that journey until I get there. Grab somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. God, we love you and we thank you. We praise you for the day. God, I pray that you will give us courage. God, I am so tired of seeing a world that is stricken with fear. I'm tired of seeing a world that's being overcome by its circumstances. God, give me the faith to stand in front of Pharaoh. Give me the courage to trust in your plan. Give me the courage to follow what it is you're wanting to do. God, I have complete confidence that you're able. You're able to do anything we ask. And so today I ask you first, forgive us for where we have failed you. And second, God, heal America. God, help us to reach out and take your love all across this nation so that one day we can stand again in a nation that is one nation under you. God, help us to get back to our roots of faith so that we can stand strong in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.